You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Chwaba.
Damn right. Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. I am Pete Chwaba. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh, it's great to have you here tonight. That was a fun intermission. Conrad, what'd you do? How'd you spend your intermission?
Well, I went out for dinner. Got a couple appetizers.
If by dinner you mean gelato.
Couple drinks.
Nice. So you're hammered. We're jamming here, folks. It's Monday night. It's great to be back on the air. We are prepared to kick off Act Two here. If you missed the first half of the show, you missed me talking about the film Weapons. It's a new film that is just getting incredible reviews. I thought it was fine. It was creepy for sure, but I don't think it lived up to the hype of Zach Cregger's first film, Barbarian. I thought that was a much cleaner story, creepier, more scary for sure. But this was a good movie. I'm just kind of ashamed of myself that I rushed out to see it today. I came down early. I could have been laying in bed on National Lazy Day, but no, I got my butt to Green Bay to go see a movie to prepare for this show so I could communicate to all the couch potatoes what I felt about Weapons. And it was good. It's not like I don't recommend it. I just didn't like it as much as Barbarian, Zach Cregger's first film. So there you go. Talked a little bit about my wife's class reunion. I went and told a few people my wife was pregnant. That was fun. And I got some very strange looks, which is really, honestly, that's what I live for, folks. I love saying stuff with a straight face. Maybe you guys do this too. Just to get reactions out of people.
You know what? This has really helped me. You know, I think when I go to my 10-year,
yeah,
I'm going to wear a monocle.
Okay.
I'm going to suit up.
You're going to, all right.
Talk in a British accent.
Maybe Kane.
Like I'm super rich.
Oh my gosh.
And I flew in from London to be here.
Do you think people might think the jig is up when they notice you brought your mom as your date? Would that be a giveaway? I think that's great. I think a lot of people BS, especially at that 10th reunion. It's like you kind of want to give the illusion. I remember at my 10th reunion, a lot of people were talking about how much they made. It's like, settle down, okay? First of all, I don't care.
You know, I think I'm going to start the conversation. That's like, you know, an icebreaker. I'm just going to be like, hey, I haven't seen you. How much do you make?
I think that's always a good question. Ask them what religion they are, how they vote, and what they make. And then shoe right. size, just to throw
that's,
it
around. I'm going
to
have a napkin with those three written on it and just talking points
just
for the night.
Just to remind. There was a great comic who was already established when I started, Jimmy Higgins, and that's where the mom date came up. One of his jokes was like, you know, couldn't get a date for my 10-year reunion, so I brought my mom, which was great because a lot of guys remembered her from the prom. Oh, you're a good dancer. People don't forget. So you're pretty much caught up, folks. Our question of the night is, it's National Laziness Day, so let's celebrate and all share how we practice laziness. Text lines are open. Phone lines are open, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can drop us a stream comment or text us on the app. That's hey, can I put this up on the I'm going to put this up. My first our guest Fallon Buchholz has created this TV show called Instability. It's a web series and they're having their premiere sometime in November. November 16th as of right now. I hope they can stick to that. But we'll keep you posted on that. It sounds interesting. I shared also who the laziest person in the world was, Jeremiah Carlton, who laid in bed for 70 years. Do you believe that, though?
What year was that?
Who cares?
Well, I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of, like, you know, if it was, like, in the early 1900s.
Right, when you don't have video games or TV.
Or what are you going to do in bed?
Yeah.
Maybe he got live entertainment to come in every day while he's laying in bed eating a croissant?
Listen, I'm guessing people did pretty much the same things in bed we do now, but they probably take their time more because they don't have color television to watch.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's a weird thing to, like, you know, if you inherit that much money, like, why would you not go out and explore the world instead of sitting in your
And you could
bed
travel. You could go anywhere.
Exactly. That's, you know, unless he really is that lazy. He's like, well, I do have the money, but like planes.
I choose not to use it. Our pal Mike Strelo, who is going to be, he's coming back on the show soon. Mike is a guy from Marinette. I love this guy. He's been a Milwaukee anchorman at CBS 58 for like 20 years, just retiring, but he's still hosting a weekend show there. They did a great piece recently that I want to talk to Mike. That was the whole idea that I wanted to get Mike back on the show because I wanted to talk about the, is it 10 chimneys or 12 chimneys? We've talked about it a little bit on the show before with Frank Anderson, but Mike just did this great piece on it. And he sent me a Facebook text and said, and the third is on the way. Hilarious. I love that Mike likes the show. I'm not going to lie. And I found my picture of me in a light blue tux from my prom. And I know there's a picture of Mike in a light blue tux from a family reunion. So we're going to share those when Mike is on the show next. That'll be probably in a couple of weeks. So we'll figure that out. Great to hear from you, Mike. We have more texts on social media, Con. Help me out here. We're, I don't want to miss one.
Yeah, we just had one that came in a little bit ago from Lauren McKenna. Who's
Lauren McKenna.
Yeah, new Civic Media employee.
New member of the Civic Media family. Oh, that's nice. What? Let me pull that up here. I want to read Laura's comment. If Laura is on during the day here at WGBW. So if you're in Green Bay and you like timeless oldies and local news, Laura does a great job playing some quality tunes. And she... Where is her comment? I want to read that. We got to have Laura on the show, too. She says, dated a guy once and found a pros cons list he made about me. What?
You know who also did that?
Rachel.
Well, Ross.
Ross. Okay.
Rachel found it.
Rachel found it. That's correct. Well, and so Laura's experience is pretty similar. She says, in the cons column, this is what it said. Lazy, takes naps, reads books, works all the time. That doesn't make sense. She can't be lazy and work all the time. And cats, she says, wait, what? Can you be lazy but work all the time? Needless to say, I'm glad that relationship didn't last. We're glad it didn't last either, Laura, and we're glad you're part of the Civic Media family. So thank you for being part of the show. So we've got, that's our question tonight, though, folks. You still have time to get in on the fun if you want. How do you practice laziness? In honor of National Laziness Day, that's what we're talking about here. That's our question of the night. And I'm going to the text line. Finally, getting back to the text line. John Murray from Madison says, can't sit for 10 minutes. No time for lazy. Well said, John. I'm kind of that way, too. I can sit, though, but I'm always doing something. John also says, I usually stand and seldom sit and lounge. Now, we know a lot about John, Conrad. We're learning a lot about John and his old lady, as he so eloquently refers to his wife, the love of his life.
Yes, yes.
So we'll see if she weighs in as well. But John says, polar opposite of my childhood, sports and lounging around the clock. Man, but sports isn't lazy. In lounging at that age, you usually do it because you're tired.
If you're watching sports, then is it lazy?
Yeah, probably.
But, you know, you get a temper during
It's fun.
You get a temper, you start throwing bricks.
Yeah, so you're active. Throw a chair through the window. We've all been there. Here is John's better half. Melissa says, Melissa from Willie Street in the 608, she says, I stay in bed for as long as John lets me, that or the dogs. So Melissa doesn't want to get out of bed. Sounds like a fun house. Melissa says, I took two naps today. See, I can't nap. I can lay down and look at my phone for like 10 minutes, then I got to move on.
You know,
I'd love to be able to nap.
There's sometimes where I just have to take a nap, I feel like, and then I wake up and I feel worse than I did before.
But you do sleep. You do nap.
For like, for just a little bit. But like, I feel worse when I get up from the nap.
I got to be better at that. I got to practice napping. Ed from Madison says, laziness is a state of being. If you have to practice, you're doing it wrong. All right. That is very fair, Ed from the 608. Thank you, buddy. Nick from Marshall says, I enjoy sitting back in my lazy boy. Wait, he put Lazy Boy, L-A-Z boy, and then in parentheses, Lazy Boy. So he's not lazy if he's going to that amount of effort to explain what he meant. Rocker in recliner and listening to music. Again, I don't, maybe that's lazy. Like if you don't go to work because of that. Listen, couch potatoes. I want to say, I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that. If your brain is stimulated, and maybe you're not being very active, but I think that's okay. don't know if I would consider that laziness. I think in some weird way you're being a go-getter. Steve from Florida says, if I'm really feeling lazy, I usually sit on the couch and watch my favorite old movies I have seen a million times. Now, that I would say could be lazy because we all like to do... I have my comfort movies. You know, I put them on and just kind of... Yeah, that's a good answer, Steve.
You know, I've never seen him sit in a... you know, watch a movie for in a long time.
I should explain Steve is kind of his dad. Or maybe he just can't really fully... but maybe he can't fully relax unless you're not around because he feels like he's setting a bad example.
It's my fault.
Finally, Conrad went back to Wisconsin. I can watch some TV. Tom from New Berlin says, while I have to learn to be lazy, you save me money. Therapist lost. Well done, Tom. We provide a service here. Annie from Watertown says, maybe I get up in the morning and then a yawn emoji. I want people to be lazy sometimes, but I don't want them to fall asleep while we're on the air. Tom says, is there lazy therapy? This is it, Tom. You found us. Tony the trucker in the 608 says, Pete, I sleep late, don't shave, sweats and flip-flops, don't look at my phone, and do takeout. That's a good lazy day. Yeah, we could all, as usual, Tony the trucker has shown us the way. Nick from Marshall says, TikTok? I thought that's what clocks were for. Well done, Nick. My wife, that is how my wife is lazy. She loves TikTok. Conrad's mom chiming in says, I like to sleep in when I can, slowly get myself out of bed. That's kind of a funny visual. Your mom really slowly getting out of bed. Always nice to hear from you, Paula. Thank you. Take a load off. Go back to bed. Nick from Marshall says, Lazeboy is actually the proper name. But it's lazy.
Yeah, but so it's la.
And then dash z.
Z. So it makes that Z.
He's spelling it like Laz, like Baz Luhrmann. Yeah.
So it's lazy boy without the Y with the dashes.
It's just lazy typing is what it is.
I think so.
All right. Sorry about that, Nick. Didn't mean to offend. He says pronounced lazy boy. All right. Thank you for the clarification. We've got Trevor Klempner coming in. He's going to be in the studio. He is a Northeast Wisconsin-based stand-up comic. We love having comedians on the show. And he will be here in just a few minutes. Tom also on the text line says, Pete and Conrad, love. Thank you, Tom. We love you too, buddy. Always love when you're part of the show. Oh, we got stream comments too. Deandra Marie. She says, hi, Pete. Hi, Deandra. Good to hear from you. She says, if you are overstimulated, then rest. That's the problem. I'm never overstimulated. I love stimulation.
I picture you at home just like with 8 different screens with like different programs and then you're on your phone video poker.
I drive people crazy. I really do. You think I drive you crazy, Conrad? You don't even know. Nick from Marshall in the 608 says, I also sleep in late. Here's the thing. Like I can't nap and I can't sleep in either, really. If I go to bed at 3 in the morning, maybe I'll sleep till 9. And it's not a good sleep.
Yeah, it's like 5 hours of sleep.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And I would love to go to bed at like 10 o'clock and get up at like 6 because I do like mornings.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to, since we started doing the show, it's hard to fall asleep at like 10 anymore.
And I'm out of here. I'm home by 9, but still, I got to eat something. I got to watch, I don't know, whatever. I'm making excuses.
Just go to sleep.
That's what my wife says. Why don't you come in? Go to bed at 10. I'm like, yeah, come home, eat, and go to bed. No, thanks. I gotta watch my stories. Okay, folks. Coming up next, laughter will be here in the studio. Northeast Wisconsin-based comedian Trevor Klempner joins the show. It's not too late to be part of this laziness extravaganza. How do you practice being lazy? It is National Lazy Day. Let's rejoice. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba, and Tom from New Berlin just took us down memory lane, Conrad. He says, is Scottish Hercule Dirkle, it's the time you were binge in the bedroom. What was that again?
Yeah,
that was a nap, right?
The Hercule Dirkle, yeah.
That's how the Scottish people say nap?
Well, kind of like lazy, herkle-durkle.
Herkle-durkle.
Yeah.
What'd you do yesterday? I was herkle-durkled.
Exactly.
Sounds obscene.
Sounds like a wedding dance.
Yeah, I could go with that. Yeah. Like the chicken or the...
Let's do the herkle-durkle.
Sure. That is the voice, by the way, of my next guest, Trevor Klempner, a comedian from here in Northeast Wisconsin, Appleton-based. And he has only been doing this a few years, you told me. So
yeah, like 3 or 4, somewhere around there.
That's exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's, all right, before we get into all things stand-up, Trevor, first of all, thank you for being here. It's great to have you here in person. What, tell us a little bit about your background, a little bit about you.
Man, where do you want me to start, I guess?
Prenatal,
okay.
Earliest memories. No, whatever.
Never met my dad. Yeah, so, you know, normal life. I've always been a big fan of comedy.
Yeah.
And I never really saw it as a career thing. Like, other people do that, you know? But I was watching stand-up since I was, you know, in middle school.
Yeah.
And, you know, but like I said, never thought about it. You know, out of high school, I joined the Army, did that for a while. And then when I got out, I moved to Appleton. I was in a band for a while. And then one of my friends who was a musician started doing stand-up, and I was like, oh, you can just do that? And so, you know, I started going to open mics and stuff like that. And, I've always had a really heavy grind mentality. So I just kept at it. And, you know, you end up funny as funny, you know, you get somewhere with it.
Isn't that weird? Like, I remember when I first started doing stand up and I was telling my dad, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like an academic. He was a lawyer, went to law school, and he was supportive, but he said, he goes, well, that's fine. You know, is there a school you can go to, or is there somewhere you can study? And I'm like, not really. I mean, have things changed on that front? There's nowhere. I know that people teach workshops.
Yeah, you know, but, and I mean, I guess there's like improv stuff that's very helpful in stand-up. Yeah. You know, most of the time people will say classes really don't get you anywhere. Like, it'll like jumpstart you, I guess. But like... I took a crowd work class when I first started, and it was really helpful. Like I can't stress that enough how awesome that was for me. Kind of, you know, changed how I look at things. So I mean, there's stuff. I mean, it's all mentorship, really.
Yeah,
that's all stand up ever has been, I feel like.
Isn't it weird? It's one of the, not that you don't do this in other professions, but you really learn by watching other comedians.
Exactly.
And then cataloging what works for you. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, like you said, that crowd work class, I've never heard of that before. Is that, how does that work? Do they simulate a club atmosphere?
No, it was done during, I want to say either tail end or beginning. It was like tail end of pandemic. It was all through Zoom. So it just was, the guy was essentially talking about, not necessarily how to do crowd work, but just, good practices when doing crowd work, like repeat what is said to you.
Okay.
There's little tricks to it that, you know, I'm not going to get into on here. But you know,
don't give away the secrets.
Yeah. But there's, it's weird. The closest simulation is, you know, they would pretend, like the teacher would pretend to be a crowd, like a heckler or something, you know?
Okay.
And then you would respond to that, you know, with, you know, like stuff that we had gone over in the class. It was like only, I want to say like 6 sessions.
Okay.
It was worth every penny.
$7,000? How much was it?
Oh, I think I only paid like $100, honestly.
Well, that's good. I probably would have taken something like that too, because that the first time you're on stage, as I recall, it's been years, but is the first time you really get heckled where someone's really mean or nasty, that kind of throws you a little bit.
Freezes you up instantly.
You said before we went on the air, I was asking you if you had a heckler story. Do you have one? Were you able to use those talents?
Yeah. No, I wasn't, unfortunately. I just got really angry. I've been very fortunate. The worst heckler I had up until this point was just, you know, we call them polite heckles, where they're just like, you're doing it. Good job. You know,
oh,
you're just like, hey, you're kind of upsetting my flow, you know. But I did this show in Minnesota like maybe a month, 2 months ago. And there was a person in the audience, and it was just, the whole show was set up to be very bad. And I was probably, I don't know, 3 minutes in, nothing's really hitting. And then I start hearing like a cricket sound. So I'm thinking like, I'm like, oh, that's a ringtone. Like, hey, shut off your phone, you know? But then I said another joke. And when I said the punchline, I heard it again. And some dude was in the audience with an app on his phone playing crickets. Yeah, and I saw red, you know? I could not help myself.
This might offend you. I actually find that kind of funny.
Oh, it's hilarious. If I like,
it's terrible, but yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, if you're like that dude's friend, you probably think he's the funniest dude in the world. You know.
We've made use of the cricket thing here when I do the Hollywood beat sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, because it was for that one of those movies. You're like, no.
You know me well enough. The next time I'm trying to be funny in front of Trevor, let's hear some crickets.
Okay.
I'm just setting you up. All right, so that's cool. So do you work primarily, mostly locally, Trevor?
I tour all around, okay. Mostly Midwest. You know, I haven't really made it out to the coast yet. Go down to Austin sometimes. But yeah, I haven't really like hit New York or LA.
Right. And can you stay busy around here? Are there enough clubs or places you can go up and just keep working on your bits?
Yeah, I mean, just like last year, I feel like I had a show every weekend, you know, like yeah. I was traveling around. Nice. Like the comedy club in Appleton, Skyline, it's owned by a chain of clubs, so you get to tour around in those too, which is very helpful.
Yeah.
And then there's like a couple production companies I work with that'll book me on stuff, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. My guest is Trevor Klumpner. He's a Northeast Wisconsin-based stand-up comic. And we will have more with Trevor after the news. We also got another stream. Deandra left us another stream comment. Did you see that?
Yeah,
she's
kind of
coming after me a little bit. So she yeah. says, ha-ha. Well, then, and this is in regard to my comment about I always have to be stimulated. She says, ha-ha. Well, then, why didn't you come to my show this weekend? Lots of stimulation. I have no doubt. Deandra, hope you crushed it. I'm sure you did. Trevor Klumpner's here, folks. He's in studio. We're coming back after the news with more stand-up comedy talk. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightline on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pete Schwabba, this is Nightlight. It is wonderful to have you here on this Monday night, folks. Tomorrow night on the show, this is exciting. We've been planning this for a while. From the recombobulation area here at Civic Media, our political authority, Dan Schaefer, joins me at 6:35. We're going to talk about the show The Wire, a show Dan is very familiar with. It's one of his favorites. It's one of my favorites. And frankly, a lot of people consider it one of the best TV shows of all time. I've seen it twice all the way through. So that will be a fun discussion tomorrow night with Dan. He can bring some of his political expertise. And if you don't know the show The Wire, it takes place in Baltimore, and they really do a deep dive from a narrative standpoint into city hall politics and the police force. It's just great. It's a really solid show. And then our pal Rob Brackenridge comes by the studio. He will be here. It's kind of like Appleton Comedian Night.
Yeah, I guess.
Appleton Comedian Week.
Yeah.
So Rob will be here tomorrow night. He's on the show frequently and one of our besties, so we'll have Rob on tomorrow night as well. But right now, we're going to jump back into a conversation we were having before the news with one of Rob's friends and a fellow Appleton comedian, Mr. Trevor Klumpner. So,
that's me.
Yeah. So are you? How's it going? Are you having fun?
Currently or in general with life?
Well, hold on. Yeah. Okay. I think I know where you're at with life because I wanted to ask you about this. On your website, you say you're a guy in a constant existential crisis. Can you elaborate?
Oh, that's my Instagram, I think.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. Okay. It's my personal Instagram. You're really doing some deep dives on me.
I hired a PI. That's how seriously I took this interview.
I'm always second guessing myself, second guessing what's going on around me. Is this real? You know? is this actually happening right now? Everything is just, but I feel like with that type of perspective, I can just be like, well, this is going to happen and we're just going to ride it out.
Do you, you say you've been doing stand-up about 4 or 5 years. Are you still at the point, do you get nervous before you go up?
Every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
This is a good thing though, right? Kind of.
Yeah. It keeps the energy up for sure. You know, I'm not going to go up there and just be like, hey guys, what's going on? You know, I'm going to be like, what's up?
So where do you get, like, where do you find inspiration for your jokes? What typically, if there are topics or subjects, really get your wheels turning, or is it something that just typically comes to you out of the blue?
I'll just see something, and I'll think about, like, what makes that thing funny, and I'll talk about that. Usually, though, it's just I'm having conversations with people, and I'll say something, and I'll be like, oh, that's actually a really funny premise.
Yeah.
And then I'll write it down and, you know, really plug away at it. Like I was just like I just wrote a new joke today based on parents getting on social media mm-hmm. and how they'll like comment on your stuff, and it's really embarrassing. But when you're a comedian, it's even worse because my mom is writing things like, that's not how it happened, you know? Like, yeah, not good.
I don't need you editing me, Ma, on Facebook. So do you write, Trevor, typically, like, will you sit down and spend a certain amount of time writing, or do you just kind of do things like you said before when they come into your head?
Well, I'll write that idea down and kind of the trajectory I want to go with it, like with a couple notes, and then I'll actually sit down and write that bit out.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you sit down and
usually I have some extra time, like it'll be in my reminders and I'll be like, oh yeah, that thing. Yeah. And I'll like actually sit down and like really flesh it out.
Nice. Did you ever have somebody say something to you, like another comic, that really technically they said, but it was something you said that got them there? And then do you ever have an argument over who gets to do the bit, or do you just say, can I do the bit, or what?
Never had the argument about it. Usually I'm pretty giving with that stuff, because if they're riffing on something and I add something, that's still their joke. You know, I'm not going to take ownership for that. I feel like a lot of stuff, like, I wouldn't say everything I do, but a lot of stuff, you know, there was someone said something, another comedian said something to me, or a friend. Which, you know, and that line ends up making it like perfect, you know, even funnier than it was before. So I love it when that happens.
Oh, same.
It's a free gift, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, I think, do you find it's harder to hang out with other people? Like, now you've been doing it 4 or 5 years, you're pretty solidified, you probably got your comedy friends. Mm-hmm. Is it different when you hang out with people who aren't comics now?
What's that like? I don't know if I have friends anymore.
Shunned them?
Yeah, I haven't shunned them. It's just I'm so busy, you know? Yeah. I have my normal day job, and then I'm on the road on the weekend. There's a couple people I still really keep in touch with. Literally, my friends are the funniest people in the world. Way funnier than I will ever be.
That's so good.
I'm just really happy that they didn't pursue stand-up comedy.
Yeah, right. That's fantastic. All right, so it said you, I learned a little bit about you too. I don't know where I saw this on the website or your dossier or whatever, but it says, my question is, how did growing up in a poor town, mm-hmm. you were in the military?
Yep.
Okay. And you also call yourself a nerd, mm-hmm. even though you're wearing that cool hat. Nerds don't wear hats like that.
Cool hat.
I like it. How did that mold your comedy persona?
Well, you know, it's like anything with writing, you know, write what you know. Yeah. So, you know, when I first started out, the stuff that was funny to me was childhood stories.
Sure.
So, you know, I started writing about growing up in a small town, you know, low economic status, being in the military, because, you know, that was a big chunk of my life.
What branch of the military
I was
were
in
you?
The Army.
Okay.
And it just, you write what you know. And, you know, I'm starting to branch out. Oh, well, so I was raised in like an atheist household.
Okay.
And so because of that, my mom was always like, well, you should question things, you know, essentially. Yeah. And so I started going to church a lot and really looking into other religions. And so I do have a lot of religious material now because I know more than I should about religions I don't believe in. just because it's fun to know. It's good information.
Sure. Did you go to the services in those religions to check them out?
A couple of them. So, you know, in the Army, pretty much you can go to any service. Like, there's all the religions are represented.
Nice.
So, you know, you can go to anything you want. But mostly it was just individual research. I remember even the pastor I had when I was in high school at like a Bible study, he told me to read other books just because it's good to know other things.
Don't you like that?
Yeah, I love it.
Right.
Yeah.
I never trust people. Oh, this is it.
Yeah. Okay. No. Don't look too close.
So where do you... Okay, so how long were you in the military?
6 years, and then the 2 IRR or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like Stripes, the movie Stripes?
Yeah, I love Stripes. Yeah. Stripes is great.
Were you more like Bill Murray or Harold Ramis or the Cruiser?
Probably more like Bill Murray.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of a smart ass.
Yeah, I was the funny guy in my branch. Or as a lot of my friends, the biggest BSer in the platoon, you know. Whatever. I like it.
That's awesome. So you talk about doing stand-up comedy. Do you, in this area, in Northeast Wisconsin, is it different than in other parts of the state? Like, where are some of your favorite clubs to work in the state?
Oh, man. In the state.
Yeah.
I mean, Comedy on State is the best comedy club in, like, it's top five, I think, in the United States in general. A lot of very famous comedians would agree with that statement.
Absolutely.
I had a good time at Comedy Cabin in Janesville. That's a cool little club they got out there. Laughing Tap is a cool. I don't know if they're little anymore. They're upsizing right now.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Greg,
yeah,
Bach.
You should have Greg in here. Yeah.
Yeah, he's been on the show and he has his own show. He's a co-host with Jay Matinera. Greg's a great guy, and I still have not been to the Laughing Tap yet. There was a club in Milwaukee called the Comedy Cafe, which was maybe my favorite room to work in the whole country back in the 90s. And then they moved and changed ownership and all that kind of thing. But yeah, I think Wisconsin is a great comedy state.
I agree. It's the people are very grateful to be indoors most of the year.
Is there a Wisconsin sensibility? Like, I know that like some of my friends that were from Boston, they all had this identity. Like there was Boston comedy. To a lesser degree, Chicago, New York has it. Is there like a Wisconsin point of view for comics?
I don't know. I feel like what cultural milestones do we have to really share in that way? You know, Boston's always known for being brassy, bold, hard hitting. In Wisconsin, we're just nice, and I feel like nice and comedy don't always.
I agree with you, but I would say we're quirky.
Yeah, we are quirky. We're very we are not afraid to be silly.
Right.
I think it was Doug Stanhope that said like the problem with New York comedy is they're too afraid to be silly.
Interesting.
So like and everyone else like it's fine to be silly. Who cares? Like we're jesters. We're clowns. Like totally. Be silly.
I don't even want to hang out with people that can't laugh at themselves
exactly.
Or have their guard down. Right. All right, you also say on one of your social media outlets that you, by the end of your set or something to the effect, like, you'll be the guy next door or the guy they think they know.
Yeah.
Your comedy, is it relatable? Is it stuff like that? We heard a little clip of it in the first hour.
Yeah.
Is that how you identify yourself to audiences?
Yeah, like, relatability is everything. Like, I feel like the biggest trick a comedian can pull is nostalgia. You know, like, that always seems to pull on something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, relatability, like... Even if you didn't grow up in a small town, you can pretty much imagine what it's like to grow up in a small town. If, like, being a nerd, not everyone's a nerd, so, you know, my perspective is almost kind of making fun of nerds, even though I am one. But I don't look like one, so that's very helpful. It's what it is.
You've got that enigmatic thing going for you. You say you're a nerd. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I wouldn't have guessed that. And what is a nerd anyway? I mean,
these days everyone's a nerd.
Everyone's a nerd, right. But you're also in the military. Mm-hmm. You grew up in a poor town. I think those perspectives alone, rather than just being a guy from a neighborhood in New York or Chicago for that matter, probably gives you different perspectives.
Oh, I agree
with
that.
What you find funny.
Yeah. Like I wasn't, you know, in a sequestered city where everything is the same, everyone believes the same type of things. I've seen the world. I've seen small town USA, you know,
right.
Which is where, for being honest, that's where everyone is that you're going to be performing for. So
yeah, totally. My guest is Trevor Klumpner. He is an Appleton-based stand-up comic. He's joining me here in the studio tonight on Nightlight. Great to have you here, spending time with me and Trevor, folks. Do you have favorite? Who are your favorite comedians that you watched growing up, and who are your favorite Wisconsin comedians?
Okay, growing up. Man, that's a hard question. Really big into Chappelle. Love Chappelle. I'm trying to think what my... Patton Oswalt was really big for me. I think he's still to this day one of the funniest comedians working.
Very good comic, yeah.
There were some unfortunate things, but my favorite comedian up until something happened was Louis C.K. I don't know.
He's a great comic.
I listen to his stuff still, you know.
I mean, you can't argue he's a great comic.
Yeah, funny is funny.
right.
Louis C.K. was probably my biggest for sure as a kid. And now my favorite Wisconsin comics. There's a guy from Appleton, Hayden Fredrickson. He's honestly, I think, the funniest comedian in our scene. Kristen Lighty here in Green Bay.
Oh,
I love
Kristen's
her to death.
Great, yeah.
She's been more helpful than anyone ever in my career so far. If you're listening, Kristen, I love you.
she's a Nightlight frequenter. We love Kristen.
Yeah, Kristen's awesome. My girlfriend, Kate Hermsen, very funny. One of the funniest in the scene for sure. But then, you know, if we go out of the scenes, we got Sasha Rosser out of Madison, Reagan Namella in Milwaukee. Like, Wisconsin's got a really solid comedy team, group right now, I think.
And we just mentioned our pal, Rob Breckenridge.
Rob Breckenridge,
who will
be
here,
is the legend.
Tomorrow night. So that will be fun. And then what about like growing up, you said you watched Chappelle. Do you have concert, like comedy concerts that you want? Like when I was a kid, we had Eddie Murphy I remember listening to Steve Martin albums. Do you have people like that that influenced you?
Yeah, I listened to like a lot of Cosby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah.
He makes Louis C.K. seem
so funny. It's so insanely funny.
Yeah. I listened to him too. When that whole scandal came out, I was blown away. Yeah. I just could not believe it.
Real bummer.
Trevor Klempner is here, folks, and we'll have a couple more minutes with Trevor. When we come back, we'll finish up reading some of your texts, and I'm going to ask Trevor, when was the moment that he knew he could do stand-up comedy, or when he wanted to try it? We'll do that, and I'm going to ask him what he's watching on color television as well. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. We are just about to put a bow on this show. I am Pete Schwabba. It's been fun having you here tonight. And thank you so much for being part of our fun tonight, talking about laziness with our question of the night. My thanks to Fallon Buchholz and Trevor Klempner is my current guest here in studio. We'll be back with Trevor in just a second. We have a couple texts here we want to get through. Jack from Merrimack, he's in the 414, says, how to be lazy? I learned well as a kid. Go fishing. Motor out onto the lake in your flat-bottom boat with its 1 1/4 horsepower Johnson. Set the boat in a drift that won't take you ashore for a few hours. Drop a line overboard from your cane pole. Is that
maybe? I don't know anything about fishing.
Yeah, I think those are the ones that don't have reels on them that you just kind of put out.
Make it look like you're fishing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're not even actually fishing, which doesn't take a whole lot of effort. You're pretending to fish. Your cane pole and go to sleep in the sun. If you're feeling ambitious, you might even bait the hook. Jack from Merrimack. Jack, A for effort, buddy. You put a lot into that text, and it sounds like you've made laziness an art form. That's fantastic. Thank
you. Sounds like a way to get away from his wife.
It could be. Yeah. You never know. And she's probably happy he's doing it, too. Why don't you go fishing more, honey? Tom from New Berlin says, if you can't laugh at yourself or the follies of life are special, why not share? Totally agree, Tom. Well said. And our pal Steady Eddie says, Pete, my laziness is God-given. I'm truly blessed. Thank you, baby Jesus. Like a camel can go for days without water, I can go for days and not do a GD. And then I'm glad he put in parentheses, gosh darn thing. As far as laziness goes, I'm what you would call a natural. Don't hate me, Pete. It's in my genes. But my father was Secretary of Idleness in the Carter administration. Your so-called lounging just ain't going to cut it anymore, Pete. I know you can do a lot more, or maybe more like it, a lot less. Slow down, man. Conrad is young and still has a chance to become the goat of lazy.
I'm on my way.
I mean, I would say Steady Eddie makes good points, but this text took a lot of effort. He is not a lazy guy.
No, exactly.
He says, chant, let's go slow, let's go slow, let's go slow. My Buddhist elders tell me, Steady Eddie, be the lazy. Now I understand laziness is a journey, not a destination. I believe I could write a best-selling book. I think you just did, Steady Eddie. I could write a best-selling book about being lazy, and I would make $1 million and become famous, but I'm pretty sure that that ain't happening. Lazy and unsure of yourself. Steady Eddie, you've outdone yourself. I would say that's a steadfast Edward text, not Steady Eddie.
Yeah.
Well done, buddy. We have a few more minutes with my current guest, Trevor Klempner. His first time on Nightlight. He's here in the studio, made the drive up from Appleton, braved the traffic. This is a total aside thing, but have you noticed that Northeast Wisconsin traffic has gotten, there have been more jerky drivers here, or is that just?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. Like, especially in Green Bay. I was here a couple weeks ago for the Fringe Fest, and I feel like people were cutting me off left and right. And I was like, what is going on? And I'm a very defensive driver, so I get yelled at a lot. It was specifically that weekend, but even I was here for something this last weekend. I was driving home, and I feel like people, I don't know. You're right.
When I was growing up or in high school at least, and I would come down to Port Plaza Mall or whatever, it seemed like everybody was so friendly, and maybe I just have rose-colored glasses on, but you know, living in Chicago or even Milwaukee, I kind of expect that, but I thought Northeast Wisconsin was a little more chill.
I mean, population's growing, you know, more and more people on the roads.
People getting upset. They need more comedy. Trevor Klumpner is here, folks. You can see. When can we see you next? Where are you?
Oh, I'm actually at the Skyline Comedy Club this weekend with K. Trevor Wilson.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. So go see Trevor at the Skyline. And can people follow you on social media?
Yeah, Trevor Klumpner Comedy on all platforms.
Outstanding. And you can do... You know, now people understand where I got my questions and they'll know just as much about you as I do now. Tell us about that moment. I think it's funny, and I think a lot of comics or musicians have this. When you realize, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. I think I can do it. I'm going to try it. What was that moment like for you, and when was it?
I was at work. Like I said, my friend is a musician. He was talking about how he was going to open mics, and I was like, oh, you can just do that. I never, like, put it together. And so then I was like, well, I'm funnier than him, you know? So I went to, well, I didn't go right away to do comedy. I went a couple times just to check it out, see what it looks like, see what's like cool in the scene. I was watching everyone and I was like, okay, I think I know that I can at least get up there and talk, like that'll be fine. And I went up there, you know, and no one does well their first time.
Right.
Except for me, I crushed. No, I'm kidding. It was horrible, but I got one laugh on something, and that was enough to just have me come back and
all right,
just keep
that was,
trying.
I was going to have a follow-up, because that was the moment you decided to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a moment where you're like, wow, I can do this?
Yeah, I actually...
A great show, maybe?
It was at the Skyline Open Mic, and I, you know, you're supposed to record yourself, and I recorded myself, and I watched back, and I just got done doing that crowd work class. And I was trying some of the stuff out, and as I was going through it, and I was watching the recording, and like it was just constant laughter, constant. Like it's still to this day a really good clip, and I'm just like, man, okay, I think I got this now, where I can start asking people to have me on their shows.
That's so great. Well, you reached out to me, and I'm glad you did. This has been fun. It's been great getting to know you, and we'll obviously do it again some point. But what we got about 30 seconds. Do you have a show you've been binge watching?
I've actually been watching Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be great.
I really like it. It's, you know, it's got that angsty teen stuff that a lot of WB shows would have, but it's kind of dark. There's a lot of blood. It's still fun to watch.
If you didn't watch The Addams Family, not that you'd be lost, but is it still good?
Yeah, I would say so.
I'm premature there with that music. Hey. He's just queuing it up. He's got all the sweet hookups. Jack from Merrimack in the 414 says, FYI, a cane pole is what we used to call a bamboo pole with just a line, bobber, and hook.
I was right.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
Well done. I probably don't ever catch any fish.
I think it's all about the snap in the bamboo pole.
I think so, too. And if you're really, truly being lazy, you probably don't want to catch a fish. All right. Trevor Klumpner, thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
It was
great.
Thanks for coming in. This was fun. Thank you to Fallon Buchholz, and thank you for all your texts and calls. We're coming back tomorrow night to do it all again here on Nightlight. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.